I'm already stupid. It's all three. We're supposed to get together. They said we're supposed to do this back then. I'll come over to the church and have some more.
So you were supposed to do that?
Yeah, I want you to. Okay, that's.
Okay. Okay.
Actually, gave her a little sheet. This one tonight, I want to do a short list. Alright, first one, 204 hours. This one is in our old hymnal. That's the number one.
45.
The windows of heaven.
Oh, I know. The windows.
It's one of these hard
backs.
Yeah. It's 203 now. That's the one.
Tonight. Russell, the young people group?
Yeah, I didn't want to call them. I didn't want to put all the names. I didn't know who I was singing.
The young people group?
Well, see, I didn't know if Brooklyn was any of them there or me, or I could call them the young men's group. I know it's those guys, but I don't know. I don't want to call them.
They need to come up with a name then.
Yeah.
Russell, the young
Thank you. All right. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Hope everybody's doing well today. And it's good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Well, I'm happy to be here. Maybe nobody else is, but I'm happy to be here. So I know today's one of those days. It's rainy outside and times change. It gets us all out of whack. I woke up feeling good this morning, so I was excited. So it is good to see you. We wasn't here Wednesday night. We didn't get it. Me and my wife both so far stayed away from it, but our grandson had the flu, and we had him the day before, so they told us to stay low. But, a lot of that stuff going around, but it's good to be back here this morning. Do get a bulletin. Keep up with the things going on around here. Of course, main thing there is prayer requests. Continue to pray through those needs there. If you're visiting with us this morning, we appreciate you being here. I hope you'll just enjoy your day with us. Just some quick announcements. Do remember all of our services. I hope you'll be back with us tonight. We do have Sunday evening services, prayer rooms at 5:45, services at 6. We encourage you, fellas, to come to prayer room. I really have a good time in there, so I hope you'll come join us there. And then Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll be back doing our Bible study at 7 o'clock this coming Wednesday. On the 20th, there's a baby shower for Carrie from 4 to 5:30. The Tuesday before Thanksgiving, we're going to be doing our soup social. So we don't have service on Wednesday night. We back it up to Tuesday and just come in and have a good Thanksgiving service and a meal. So that's in the bulletin, so keep up with that. And then December the 3rd, fellas, if you want to go ahead and get that on your calendar, that'll be our next men's breakfast. Had a great time the first one. Looking forward to this second one. And so go ahead and mark that on your calendar. Be inviting some folks to come. We'll have a good time there. And then if you hadn't voted yet, I want to encourage you to get out and vote Tuesday. Again, I ain't going to tell you who to vote for, but I hope you'll pray about who you vote for. There's a lot of things going on. And I know they won't vote him in, but I know Jesus is the answer. Amen. And so that's who I'm trusting on. But we do want to make, I know Veterans Day's coming up. I appreciate all the men and women that have fought and are fighting for our freedoms, and voting is one of the freedoms that we have. So I want to encourage you to go out and vote. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then Brother Russell will come, and we'll sing a couple of songs. Father, we love you. We praise you for how good you are to us. And, Lord, just ask you for the next little bit, God, would you please help us to take our minds off of ourselves and our minds off of what's going on around about us, God, and help us, God, to focus tonight or this morning on you. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity just to come to a place that we can hear the truth, not the truth of a man, not the truth of a religion, but the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, that seed would fall on some good ground today, God, and you'd help us as we just want to see you high and lifted up. Lord, I pray for our young people this morning in the different children's churches. I just pray that you'll bless there in a special way, Lord. And God, just help us today, God, to just magnify and glorify you through your word. And we'll give you the praise, the honor, the glory for it all. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, grab your hymnals. Let's all stand. Turn to number 45. As I said over the last few weeks, you need to help me out here. After the COVID, my voice is taking forever to come back. I read somewhere 6-8 weeks, and I thought, oh, great. So number 45, we're going to do the first, second. Well, we'll just do them all. Let's do all four. So all the way through. Here we go. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is fire. Can't hit the high notes. The fire in the blood of the Lamb. There is fire. In the breath. Okay, I can hit the low notes, but when we go to the high ones, my voice stops. So you're on the course, you're on your own. So here we go. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's fire in the blood, fire. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful fire in the blood. All right, sing it out. In the blood. There is fire. Okay, verse number 3. Here we go.
Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's fire in the blood, fire in the blood. When sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow, there's wonderful fire in the blood. There is fire.
Here we go. Verse number 4.
Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's fire. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's one.
All right, sing out the last one. Here we go. You can sing louder than that. Come on. Flip over to number, before we sit down, flip over to number 11. I actually did better than this Wednesday night. I don't know what's wrong. It's like it's going back down. All right, so number 11, love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin. And I know most of you know this, and you'll start doing it. I almost want to ignore it, but everybody keeps doing it. So back years ago, some guys came for a vacation Bible school. So on this song, they led it, but every time you say the word lifted, we stand up on our tiptoes. All right? So love lifted me, love lifted me. And so if you want to participate, go ahead. So here we go, all three verses.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now so am I. Love lifted me. Love. When nothing else could help.
Alright, verse 2.
All my heart to Him I'll give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His blessed presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Love lifted me. Love lifted.
Whoops, missed that one.
When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help.
Sorry, I need some water. All right, we're going to sing on that last one. So verse number 3, here we go. Here we go.
Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows His will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help,
love. All right, so let's all turn around. They'll keep playing. Let's all turn around. Shake hands. Spend time in fellowship. Play.
you won't be making your way back to your seat, and go ahead and be seated once you get there. All right. Everybody have a chance to get back. Appreciate the good songs this morning. I think Miss Stone's going to come sing for us if you want to come this way. Just real quickly, again, prayer request. Continue to pray for Miss Knupp, of course. A lot of sickness. I heard this morning we've got several that are flu, or Miss Heather's crew, they're all sick. Brother Gary Clay, he's sick. Miss Regina's little girl's sick. So just a lot of that going around. So be mindful of that. It's good to see Brother Hunting, Miss Hunting. Continue to pray for them. Her brother-in-law did pass away this past week, so do pray for them as they go through that. And also, don't forget about our missionary, Brother Henderson. If my wife was in here, she could tell me. They have a large family, of course, but I don't remember. It was outrageous what it cost to fly the family back in so they could be with him. He did have a massive heart attack. I found out his son actually did CPR on him. But he seemed, they were able to help him in different things, so he's still not back up to 100%. Just pray for him and the family there and the work there in Guam. So, all right.
Was heavy burdened down, the hand of Satan had me bound. I called on Jesus, he had compassion on me. When his love came rushing in and he took away my sins, I was changed, and Satan knew I'd been set free. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps ringing, and it was Jesus that made me this way. The world can take all the things that I've worked for through the years. They can take this old house I'm living in. Oh, but there's one thing I know they'll never take away from me, and that's Jesus who's living within. 'Cause I've been touched by those hands that were hanging from a tree on a lonely hill that day. He put a song in my heart that keeps ringing, and it was Jesus that made me this way. He put a song in my heart that keeps ringing, and it was Jesus that made me this way.
Amen. Boy, I like it. Amen. I am what I am because of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Appreciate all the good songs this morning. Take your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. We have been studying the book of Hebrews on Wednesday evening, and I really hate I missed this past Wednesday night because I was so excited about what we were going to look at, and I just feel like the Lord would have us look at this morning. And Brother Russell's first song today just sort of touched my heart because it's dealing with what we're going to look at this morning. The Bible, we sung that song, There's Power in the Blood, amen. And I know today that, you know, people don't like our, and I hate this word anyway, our religion. I don't have religion. I have Jesus. But, you know, everybody says we have a bloody religion. Well, that is a true statement except for the religion part. It takes blood that we have the life that we have, the eternal life that God's given us is through the blood. So Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. When you found your place, if you would, let's stand together if you can out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this morning. Now we studied, if you were with us on the other Wednesday night, we went from verse 1 down to about verse number 6. And here in chapter 9, we're dealing between the old and the new. The old covenant, the old tabernacle, and the old priestly line, and the new temple, the new priest, high priest, Lord Jesus Christ. And we come down and we want to begin reading here in verse number 11 this evening. We'll go back and catch up on Wednesday night on some other things. I'm losing my glasses. All right. Verse number 11 says, "But Christ being come an high priest, a good thing to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the tester. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the tester liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And verse 22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundations of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So let's pray. Father, we love you. We sure are thankful for these words and thankful for the truth. And God, I pray for the next little bit. God, would you please help paint the picture, God, that you put on our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, you'll speak to these today. God, I pray, Lord, that folks are willing to hear what saith the Scriptures. And God, I know your word will not return void. And I know today, God, that that word will perform exactly what you've had it set forth to do. I know today, God, it's all on man today, God, to answer, to heed the word of God. And I pray today, Lord, once again, would you take this time, God, to speak to our hearts as only you can. And we sure will thank you for all you do. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. And again, here in the book of Hebrews, and if you've not been with us on Wednesday night, it's we're studying through this book. But I really want to draw our minds this morning to this action of blood. Now, if you've been in church, well, let me back up. If you've been in a good, fundamental, independent Baptist church, you've heard singing, as we sung first, there's power in the blood. And you've heard teaching, and you've heard preaching, and you've heard, well, some of you might not, but I remember when we used to shout some around the church house. We'd get a little excited about things like the blood. And I thank God this morning for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I understand this morning that without that shedding of blood, there would be no remissions. And as we see here this morning, the comparison that God has given us between the old and the new. Now, in the Old Testament, we know that as we saw here in these verses, that when God gave them this covenant, when God gave them these ordinances, that God informed Moses that there had to be some purification. And God told Moses that he was to kill the lambs, the goats, the bulls, the doves, and all these things for sacrifices. And as he built the temple, as they made all the instruments, we find here that God says that Moses sprinkled them with blood. He even says the people. Now, you would be pretty excited today if some guy came walking up with you with a bucket, with a hyssop in his hand, was slinging blood everywhere, wouldn't you? Come on. But that's exactly what took place. In the Bible, the blood is so important. And what I want to see this morning, now we're going to go look at Christ here in just a little bit. And again, I love the songs about the blood. I love the preaching about the blood. I love the understanding that God has let me see about the blood of what Christ has done. But there is something that's wrong this morning. And God has really helped me these last couple weeks when I think about this. I was sharing with some other people about what God had showed me and really helped me. And this is the thing, and I'll be honest with you, I've been saved since I was 13 years old. How old am I now? 53? Yeah, 53 years old, so y'all do the math. I've been saved that long. And I've heard slews of preaching. I've heard slews of singing about the blood. But I really believe, I have never preached a message on the blood like I'm going to preach this morning. And I'll be honest with you, I've never heard anybody else preach a message on the blood like I'm going to preach this morning. Preach, did you find something new? Nope. I think it's something we've just put to the side and have forgotten about blood. And again, it's a comparison. Now, the blood, take your Bibles over to the book of Leviticus. We know blood is very important. That's the reason you're somewhat conscious today. Some of you might need a blood transfusion. Look over in the book of Leviticus. Now, many of you, I don't know many, some of you know that my background, besides growing up on a farm, is I've got a degree in electronics engineering, and I used to mess with electrical stuff all the time, machines, robots, whatever. And I had an old guy tell me this one time, and this old guy, he's in hell now, because I don't figure he got saved. He was a very wicked man. But there's a lot of wicked men. This old man, when I called him old man, I was in my early 20s, and he was probably in his early 70s then. And he walked up to me, and again, I was young, I was new, and he says, "Boy, do you know how this stuff works?" And I was thinking, well, I went to college, I got a degree, I think I know. He says, "Well, let me tell you how it works. Let me tell you how electricity works. Every piece of electrical equipment you have works this way. Promise. It runs off smoke. If you ever let the smoke out of whatever electrical equipment you have, it will never work again." That's what he told me. I thought, well, that's not really true, but it does work that way. When whatever it is you got, when the smoke comes out of it, you might as well trash it because you're going to have to go buy another one usually. Well, let me tell you something this morning. Your body don't work off smoke, but your body does work off blood. Look here in Leviticus chapter 17. Look at verse number 11 with me this morning. Notice our Bible is what a science book. Verse 11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the what?
Blood.
You live today physically because you got blood flowing through your body. I looked up some statistics and different things, and we got some folks in here that's got medical backgrounds, and you can just tell me if I was wrong or right. And again, you don't always believe what you get off the internet, but some things are right. So I was looking up things about the blood. And again, the Bible says here that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now, just like electricity, if you let the smoke out, it don't work anymore. Well, let me tell you something this morning. If I let all your blood out, you ain't gonna work no more. Your body works because of the blood. The blood, what I did do some reading, the blood carries oxygen to every living cell in your soul or in your body. Your blood circulates, one drop of blood, and I don't know how they figured, I was thinking, how do they know this? But they say, whoever they is, they say that one drop of blood in you will travel your circulatory system somewhere between 30 and 60 seconds all the time. So when your blood start, if that one drop started there, every time it went through all the places it was going, it'd come right back to that pump. I looked up, and I don't remember, I didn't write that one down. How much God makes things right. You know, this old pump I got in here, it's just pumping away. And it pumps that blood every 30 to 60 seconds. That one drop, but the average person has almost somewhere around a gallon of blood in them. I learned this too, and I thought about you and you other ladies that's just been pregnant. Do you know your blood increases by almost 50%? A pregnant person does? I thought, that's pretty interesting. And it talked, and I read some things about how our blood continues to produce and put forth. But our blood carries oxygen to every living soul. Our blood carries away things that are bad. So it feeds us, but it also cleanses us. So our blood gives that oxygen. Our blood carries away that waste. That blood is constantly cleaning our body. It carries food or electrolytes and vitamins to our cells. It carries antibodies around the body to help defend the body. So without the blood, we could not live. And that's just a true statement. Now, again, as amazing as the blood is, and I know people. I'm not going to name names this morning, but I know people. Now, I'll be honest with you. Blood doesn't bother me. I can, you know, my own blood don't bother me. Your blood wouldn't bother me. Blood just don't bother me. Now, there is a word, I think it's, what is it, hemophobic? Means you're afraid of blood. Now, nobody likes to look at blood, do they? I mean, it's just not a natural thing to go look at blood. Blood is nasty. You get blood on you, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to go clean yourself up. Get that stuff off of you. Blood is smelly. You get around a lot of blood. Blood stinks. But some people, blood makes them real squeamish. I know people that will actually pass out when they see blood. Now, again, blood doesn't do that to me, and I'm not saying that means anything, but it doesn't bother me. There are things that do bother me, but that's not one of those things that bother me. I was just thinking about something that popped in my head that does bother me, but we won't go there. But I saw you got to be careful what you send people, because not everybody's like you. And this guy was a deer hunter. I thought he was a little more whatever. But I sent him a picture. I seen a guy. I got this hunting thing that I see. They had pictures of deers and different things. But this guy, he had his muzzleloader blow up in his hand. And it literally, I sit there, man, I was zooming in. I was like, man, that's nasty. That's terrible. Man, I mean, literally, from here to about right there was this blow clean over here. And I mean, you can see everything in there. The tips of these fingers were just blown off. I thought, man, that's horrible. I sent it to that guy. He's like, don't ever send me nothing like that again. Like, what's wrong with you, man? I was thinking, now the dude that had that happen to him, the picture was taken, you can see him from, you know, here down basically. He was sitting or laying in the emergency room, still had his rubber camo boots on, and he's sitting there with his hand out like this, takes a picture. I thought, that's a tough dude. I was thinking, I ain't scared of blood, but I think if that happened to me, taking a picture of it would not have been the first thing I thought about doing. But to a lot of people, blood is very gruesome. Why do you think Hollywood likes to make movies that have a lot of blood in them? Did you know this? I try not to watch much news anymore. My wife says amen. Thank the Lord. Praise God. But have you ever noticed that news likes to sell blood? If it's not bloody or gory or horrific or whatever, they ain't going to stay there long. They're going to move on to something else. Why? Because people, who, did you see that? But blood, again, to a lot of people, blood is something you don't want to be around. It's something you just, you know, you just don't stick your finger, oh, ain't that pretty blood? Just move the podium. You don't drop it in a jar and say, here's my blood. I did read a thing the other day. I don't remember the woman's name. Some of you historians are probably know. And I don't remember what state it was in. There's a museum in Illinois, I think. It's a piece of silk material saturated in blood, and they say it's priceless. I thought, now who would want to go to a museum and look at a piece of silk cloth covered in blood? Well, it's not about the blood, it's whose blood it was. When Abraham Lincoln got shot, whoever this woman was that was with him, and he fell over into her lap, his blood was all over her dress, and they cut a piece of that fabric out, and it's in a museum, and it's considered to be priceless because it contains the blood of Abraham Lincoln. Well, bless their hearts, as my wife would say. Abraham Lincoln is dead. I think he was a good man. I think he was a godly man for what I read. But his blood don't help me one bit. Now, it helped him because when they shot him and his blood run out, he died. Did you know that's how George Washington got killed? Not by getting shot. They sucked the blood out of him. That used to be a theory. You know, they would, what did they call that? Yeah, leeching. They would take, when you had something wrong with you, because they knew that the life of the flesh is in the blood, that if they put leeches on you and let them, anybody ever had a leech on them? That is one of the nastiest critters I have ever seen in my life. There was about four or five of us high school boys were going swimming in a pond, and that first boy goes out in there, and he stood up, he was covered in leeches. I was like, I'm glad I wasn't first, amen. But they leached the blood out of him so much that he died. Why? Because your blood is so important. Now, I told you I was going to preach, we're going to look at the blood of Christ here in just a little bit, but I want to show you some things this morning to get our minds. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, we're comparing the old into the new. And we're comparing again here the priestly duties there of the Old Testament with what our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we still have a high priest. Amen. If you hadn't been there Wednesday night, that is one of the greatest truths. I think people said, really? I didn't understand that. But I'm glad you showed us that. We still have a high priest. We need a high priest. That high priest in the Old Testament was that one. Once a year, they'd go into the holies of holies, and they would offer that sacrifice there for that atonement for to cover the sins of the nation of Israel. But we have that high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Old Testament high priests, they died. They circled in and out of different high priests. But I'm glad tonight or this morning we have a high priest. His name's Jesus. He's eternal, amen. But over here in Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about those priestly duties. Now, this is the part I don't think people's ever, I can't say that. Maybe you've got this. Maybe you've thought about this. It really helped me. So if you hadn't thought about it, maybe it'll help you this morning. But that blood, those priests, again, the Lord told Moses there to sprinkle everything with blood. All the utensils, the altar, everything, even the people with blood. Why? Because that blood was a cleansing. That blood, as we'll find here in a moment, is an atonement. And that word atonement means that joins two people back into a relationship or a covering of, and that's what the blood represented there, was that covering for their sins. But in the Old Testament there, and this is the part I want you to understand. We know, again, if you read your Bible or you've heard people talk about it, maybe it's all through the Old Testament. We'll look at here in a minute. If you want to go ahead and turn over there to Leviticus, we'll look back there in just a moment. I think it is. But let me find what verse it is, and I'll tell you here in just a moment if I can find it myself. Leviticus chapter 17. We're going to read the first part of that. But what the picture in people's minds that I don't think we have much today is this. Those priests, and I can't imagine having to do this. I'm thankful beyond my even thoughts to thank God for the blood of Christ. I am. But I really don't get a hold of what that blood represents until I can see this. And this is what I want us to see real quickly. We know that God commanded them, we'll see here in just a minute, that they were to bring offerings. And again, these priests, every day they were working there in the outer courtyard of the tabernacle. And as people brought in those animals for sacrifices, those priests had to do what? Had to bleed them out. Now, most people today, if you saw a gory scene, you know, I don't know however you want to make it up, you wouldn't want to look at that. But this is a true statement. As much as blood is not something we see very often, Old Testament, blood is something they saw all the time. That place of sacrifice was nothing but blood. Those instruments that they used, that altar there that they sacrificed on, that thing would be dripping with blood. So for them, they saw blood on a daily basis. They saw blood. It was constantly in their minds because of what God had set in place. Let's look over in the book of Leviticus again there. Look with me, Leviticus chapter 17. Let's go to verse number 1. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, what man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or a lamb or a goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He has shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. They couldn't do it themselves. So what he's saying, verse 5. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices, which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priest, and they offer for their peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and they shall no more offer their sacrifice unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among the people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat of eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh, the blood of it is, for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood. Therefore whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. Listen, again, it shows forth the importance of the blood and what the blood was meant for here in that first covenant, that first testament, that God said that blood would be used for an atonement for their souls. Now, this is the thing. Blood is all through our Bible. The first mention, if you go back and look at that, is Adam and Eve. We know that, again, atonement. Atonement is to be able to bring back two people into a relationship. What happened to Adam and Eve and God? We know that Adam and Eve was born in a perfect place, or not born, but made in a perfect place. We know that because of sin that entered in, that sin destroyed what? That relationship between Adam and Eve and God. What did God do to bring that atonement or bring that relationship that He once had with Adam and Eve, that He brought that back to a place that they could have that relationship? What did He do? He killed an animal and made them a bloody coat. The blood is what made their atonement. That blood is from the time of Adam all through the Old Testament. We know there when God brought them out of Egypt, what did God use? God told every one of the families to kill a lamb and to take that blood and to put it on the doorpost. And when the death angel passed by, if he saw the blood, he passed by them that night. Hey, it was blood. And then all through the Old Testament, through the tabernacle, through all the sacrifices, there was blood, blood, blood. Probably, now, I can't picture this in my mind. Again, I read several things to try to figure out how many animals that they would kill on a daily basis. And it blows my mind. But this one I do know. One of the greatest sacrifices, blood-wise, in quantity. Do you know what it was? What was it? Solomon. When Solomon dedicated the tabernacle or the temple, this is what he did. It's found, you can go and go read it and find it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. That day, because they were so excited to have that temple, so excited about what God was going to do, Solomon had them kill 22,000 oxen. That's a bunch of cows. 22,000 oxen. He had him kill 120,000 sheep. So that's 142,000 animals died at that one sacrifice. Now, again, I don't know how these men might come up with this, but it makes sense to me. They said that, and I read this in a couple of different places, they say that in their minds and in their calculations of how much blood that would be, that when they killed those 142,000 animals, that as the priests were conducting their priestly duties to kill these animals, to sacrifice the meat and the blood, they said that the blood was probably, those priests were probably walking in blood that would be over their knees because there was so much blood. From 142,000. Can you imagine? Now, you're talking about a horror. That would be a horror, wouldn't it? You're talking about a smell. Oh, that'd be awful. You're talking about, can you imagine? That again, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just showing you that in the Old Testament, the blood had a meaning that I don't think that us today really get a hold of this. Those priests, can you imagine how much blood they had to have on them from head to toe? Now, let me give you a little bit more about their sacrifices. When a person would come into the priest and bring forth his oxen, his goat, his lamb, his dove, whatever it might be, what they did was this. They would have to take their hand and place their hand upon that animal, showing forth that this animal is taking the place of what they've done and their sins. After they did that and all that was done, the priest would take that animal and didn't take it over here into a slaughter room. That priest, after they had made that sacrifice, after they placed their hands upon that animal, signifying that this animal is what's taking their place, that priest would bleed out that animal. Now, I've seen a lot of animals die. I don't think I've ever seen a human bleed out. I don't think I have anyway. But can you imagine? Now let's draw our minds back just a little bit to the first mention of this blood. Who was the first? Adam and Eve, right? Can you imagine? Now this is the part I want you to get. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect place, correct? I can't picture that thing. I'm looking forward to heaven because it's going to be more better. Because there's not going to be any sin there. But Adam and Eve lived in that perfect garden that God made. They had a perfect relationship with God. It was just as natural as me and my wife talking. God interceded with them. God spoke with them. God talked with them. God walked with them. But then entered sin. And what did sin do? Sin separated Adam and Eve from God. Now, prior to sin, Adam and Eve walked around naked and it wasn't a problem, was it? But as soon as sin entered and they were separated from God, they realized they were naked. And so they wanted to try to figure out some way to cover up their sin. And they took those leaves there and made them an apron or whatever out of leaves. And the Lord said, the Bible tells us the Lord came walking in the cool of the day, crying out, "Hey, Adam, where are you at?" And Adam and Eve knew there was a problem. Adam and Eve, instead of being with God, was away from God. And Adam and Eve was hiding because they knew they were naked. Now, God comes to them. Adam and Eve come out. God tells them what they've done. Then God says, there's got to be something done. So he takes, and I believe, it doesn't say, but I really believe it was probably a lamb. I really do. I don't know that for fact, but I know that Jesus Christ is that perfect Lamb of God. So I just picture in my mind, it was a lamb. Now, Adam and Eve, Adam had the privilege, and this is one of those things that always amazes me. God brought every animal by Adam. Remember that? And God, Adam got to name every animal. I'm thinking, why don't you call that a cow? I don't know, but he named every animal. So they were used to being around these animals. Correct? They probably, I got a dumb dog that as soon as I get on the buggy, he wants to sit up right beside me like he's my friend. Trying to talk him out of it. But, we get attached to animals. I got one cow that I really like. It's red, and every time it comes up, and I scratch the back of his head, and it just runs out. Me and her like each other. But I want you to picture again in your mind, here's Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had never seen, now listen to me, Adam and Eve had never seen death. Never. I don't know that if Adam and Eve ever saw blood to that point. I can't say that for sure. But on that day, when they sinned, and God said there had to be a price, I can just picture in my mind now, as God brought that little lamb and took that lamb. And now I know this sounds gross and I don't want it to be, but I want you to understand this. That lamb was something that Adam and Eve had been around. That lamb might have been one that they petted and talked to. They could hear it. I can't make a lamb's voice, but bah, whatever it is. They were probably used to hearing that lamb, bah, whatever. But then God says, because of what you've done, I got to kill this thing. What's killing me? What do you mean, God? And Adam and Eve stood there that day in their nakedness, and they watched God do something that they had never seen before. And they watched as God sucked the blood out of that lamb, if that's what it was. Now, again, I've seen a lot of animals die. Deer is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. You can shoot a deer, and it'll run every bit of blood out of its body and still run for another mile sometimes. It amazes me how they can do that. I guess it's just adrenaline or something. I don't know. But can you imagine Adam and Eve watching? Again, we're so accustomed to horror. You know, it means nothing to us these days. But Adam and Eve watched God take that lamb and drop every bit of its blood out. Why? To make an atonement for their soul. In the Old Testament, those Israelites would have to bring their offering unto the priest. They would have to lay their hands upon that animal, and signifying that's their sacrifices, and then that priest would take, and again, I'm not trying to be ugly about it, but take something and probably slit its throat. And they would watch as that blood drained out of that body, just as Adam and Eve watched as God drained the blood out of that lamb. And they would watch that animal die. Not quickly, I don't think. I don't know how quick it takes to bleed out the body, but it doesn't take a whole lot of time. But they would watch as that blood, that life, remember? The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. They watched as that life was sucked out of that animal because of them. Now, this is what I think we've missed. Jesus Christ, back to Hebrews chapter 9, and we saw there, we won't go back and read it, but we saw that He is that perfect sacrifice. He is that one that gave His life for our sins. Look with me real quickly. I don't have time to give you all these verses, but I do want to give you a couple of them. Look over in 1 John chapter 1. I'll give you that one and we'll move on. But I want you to see this. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse number 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. There's the atonement. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Again, I don't probably hadn't painted this the way I wanted it painted. I can't give it to you the way God let me see it. But I hope this morning that God will put something in your heart today that you'll realize this. If you're saved this morning, we all like to sing about the blood. Why? Because it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us salvation. It was His perfect blood. Now, the thing that I don't think we get, because it told us that all those things in the Old Testament was a picture of things that were in heaven and what was to come. Just as those, as Adam and Eve watched that lamb bleed out and die, just as all through, again, at Solomon's temple, 142,000 animals, they watched the life bleed out of them and die. Do you realize at Calvary, just like that lamb in the garden, just like all those sacrifices all through the Old Testament, Jesus Christ hung on that cross. And this morning I identify Him as my perfect sacrifice. Yes. Now, I wasn't there that day, and neither were you. But that day He bled out. Why? To be an atonement. He bled out and died that I could have a relationship with God. I think we've taken for granted the price that was paid that we can shout about the blood. I think we've forgotten about what it cost
that I could live. Again, I don't see Christ on that cross. I wasn't there and watched the blood run down the post that day. But that blood was shed that I could live. And just as Adam and Eve watched that gory tale of that lamb dying, can you imagine? Some of you have probably been around an animal getting skinned out. Can you imagine Adam and Eve standing there and God kills this animal and takes its coat and makes them a robe? It wasn't a Belk or a Macy's or a Walmart coat. This thing was still warm because it just come off of a dead animal. It was bloody. It was probably smelly. But God did that for a covering, for an atonement for their soul. I don't think Adam and Eve forgot that. Now you and I, if you say you're saved this morning, you've been washed in the blood. Amen. Oh, I'm glad today that we don't have to go to a priest and take animals and on a yearly basis or a daily basis and ask forgiveness of our sins. That I'm glad that Christ has died once. That's all He's ever going to die. And shed His blood that we could have atonement, that we could have life, that we could have salvation. But I want you to picture this morning of what it costs. Picture them putting their hands on that goat or that ox and watch the priest stick a knife in it and bleed it. And the whole time watching the life suck out of that animal. That's what Christ did for me. That's what Christ did for you. Again, thank God for the blood. But I don't lose sight of what that blood represents. It makes it a whole lot more meaningful of what Christ has done for me. Let's stand together this morning. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Nobody's looking around. Musicians are coming. There is power in the blood this morning. Your life is, you're alive today because of blood, physically. But I'm alive today spiritually because of blood. That my Lamb, my perfect Lamb of God, was willing to die and shed His perfect, precious blood to be an offering on that altar, to be sprinkled there for my sins. This morning, I hope you got a picture of what Christ did for you. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you're not going to get in because of your good works. You're not going to get in because you're a Baptist or you're a Methodist or you're this or that. You're not going to get in because you're this color or that color. You're not going to get in because you give some money or didn't give some money. You're only going to get in because a lamb was sacrificed. That blood was shed for our atonement. That blood was shed that we could have life. This morning, the day I called out on Jesus, I put my hand on Christ and symbolized saying He's my Lamb. Some have already slipped around the altar this morning. Child of God, if you're saved, I hope God put a big old picture in your mind of what He did for you. If you're here today and you're lost, I hope God is working on your heart right now saying, I did that for you. That you could have life. If you don't know Him this morning, would you come and let us take the Bible? If you're saved this morning, you just need to sit around the altar and thank God. Would you come? Brother Rick, won't you sing a verse or two? You see it?
Thank you.
sings another verse this morning, the blood. Think about it. For being here this morning. Again, I hope maybe God will paint that picture a little better in your heart and your mind. It'll mean a lot different to you as you think about that blood that was shed there for your sins, the sins of the world. You might be here and you're not saved. God did that for you anyway. You just got to accept Him. So, hope you have a great afternoon. Hope you'll be back with us tonight. 5:45 will be prayer room. 6 o'clock will be service. And hope you'll be on back with us tonight. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You. Thank You so much, God, for life. Lord, thank You this morning, God, for once again letting us see, God, what it really took, God, what it really meant, God, as You hung there on Calvary and, Lord, gave Your blood that we could have life. I pray, God, that we'd see it a whole lot different. Lord, I thank You, dear God, Lord, for Your Spirit that leads and guides, directs. I pray, Lord, You'll continue to work in hearts of Your people. And God, just go with us this afternoon. Bring us back this evening, Lord, and we'll give You the praise, the honor, the glory for it all. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Have a safe afternoon.